Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. If you're watching us on ESPN2, Harry today has had that dog in him. So he has been repeatedly chomping on a paper pone that he cut out. It was craft time this morning.
It's a little wrinkled now.
Are you going to make another one for first take when you're on, or are you just going to take the same one?
Nah, I might not use it for first take. I'm going to use these grapefruits, though.
Okay, so the grapefruits are going to make first take. The paper bone may not make first take.
Yeah, it might not make first take.
Do you want me to run to like a local place and see if I can get you an actual dog bone and bring it in for first take? I'm just walking in the middle of the taping.
We talk about them dogs on this show or any show or Fitz and Harry that's coming, you know, January 3rd, every weekday, 12 noon to 3 p.m.
Wait, when does that show start?
January 3rd.
Oh, what time's it on every day?
12 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Oh, look at that. And it's me and you, what, on ESPN Radio. Oh. But right now, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose.
12 p.m. Eastern time to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification on time zones. And you can also listen to us on your smart speakers, just like you can do right here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you guys can hang out with us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Every time we talk about the Cowboys, which it feels like is every second of every day across all sports networks, because everybody wants to talk about the Cowboys. Harry, I sit here and I think about the Dak conversation, because we live in a world where we love a quarterback while they're ascending, right? Yep. Like a quarterback's going up and we're like, oh, just need to see more. And then as long as they're ascending, we'll give them benefit of the doubt. The minute we feel like they're no longer ascending, then all of a sudden they become complete trash. There is no middle ground in the conversation we have about quarterbacks. I don't know why, but we talked yesterday about Lamar Jackson, who suddenly is judged because he can't play well in the playoffs, according to so many people. And then we don't hold Justin Herbert to that same standard because my guy's never even played in a playoff game, right? So when we get to the playoffs, and the Cowboys are obviously coming off a huge win, the question is trust. Because I'm looking at it across the board saying, I trust Dak way more than I trust the rest of the Cowboys when it comes to failing this team in the playoffs. Like, if somebody's going to fail the Cowboys in the playoffs, in my mind, Dak is not the top of that list, right?
Yes and no. And I say yes and no because of simple fact. You look at Dak right now in the National Football League since he came back and started playing, or totality, right? 20 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. You can't turn the football over. And some of the games, some of the reason why some of these teams that aren't as good as them have been able to stay in the games is because of those turnovers. Now, we'll also say when you look at a guy like Dak Prescott, when you're playing the Houston Texans and the game is kind of iffy, right? And you need to go down and score a touchdown. But granted, your turnovers are part of the main reasons why that team is actually in the game. But you need a 98-yard drive for your team to go down and, you know, win that game. Dak Prescott is able to do that. I also look at a game against the Philadelphia Eagles and just a horrible, terrible turnover by Dak Prescott, which should have been an easy throw and an easy completion, turns into a pick six by Josh Sweat, right, for the Philadelphia Eagles. But the bright side of that whole debacle that went down for the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott is that he didn't hang his head. He stayed cool, calm, and collected. And I thought Dak made a lot of plays in that game to actually lift up the Dallas Cowboys. And I know he had that pick six or whatnot, but when you look at the Dallas Cowboys overall as a team, and I just don't think you can just keep separating the two. The loss is not going to be on Dak. This team has to play well together for them to win. It's not no separation. It can't be Dak being one way, the defense being iffy, or, you know, Dak not being good, the defense being phenomenal. That's not playoff football. Playoff football is the quarterback playing well, not turning the football over, and the defense creating turnovers and getting sacks. One of the things that the Dallas Cowboys have been lacking the last three games versus the Houston Texans, they had zero sacks, but they were able to force two turnovers. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they only had one sack, but was able to force three turnovers. Versus the Eagles, zero sacks, but were able to force four turnovers. Then when I look at their defense, I'm just saying when you're playing in the playoffs and you're potentially going against a team like, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, or the San Francisco 49ers. You can't just sit there and bank on turnovers. It's not a guarantee that you're going to be able to get those. In the playoff game last year against the 49ers, they got one turnover. And then also, you know, Dak turned the football over. The San Francisco 49ers got a touchdown off of that. They got a touchdown off of the 49ers turnover in the playoffs last year. The 49ers won the football game. So I think for the Dallas Cowboys to try to get over this hump or to get this dark cloud from over them, everybody has to play well. It's no separation. Dak's not going to be the reason why so-and-so happens, or the defense is the reason why this happens. In totality, together, they have to play great football. It's no separation between the two in my eyes.
Well, think about how often we listen to coaches talk afterwards, and one of the catchphrases that you can take a drink every time you hear it in a press conference is complimentary football, right? Yep. It's just complimentary football isn't a sexy topic on TV. So we don't love to sit here and say, well, you know, everybody failed. Like, we want to pinpoint everything on the quarterback, no matter what, which is part of what's wild about this, because yeah, Dak has had turnover issues this year, and I get that.
And he's going to play an integral part in what the Dallas Cowboys do, or if they move on in the playoffs, along with the defense, though, too.
Right, because there are so many parts of the situation. If the defense is having one of those days where they're a sieve and, like, you can just get right through them, then that's going to force the play calling to change for the Cowboys, which is going to put them in a bit higher risk situation. Like, this is all context to the conversation. But my problem, I guess not problem, I think if we look at a weakness for the Cowboys over the last few weeks, it's been their defensive ability to do what they do well, which is get after the passer. Bart Scott, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up and said this about the Cowboys' defense.
Playoff football is about stopping a run and packing your run game. You know, I just don't see the grit, the physicality. Listen, everybody within that division has a bloated record, right? Because they had the easiest schedule in all of football. To me, it's San Francisco, then Eagles, Cowboys, then Minnesota. Can anybody make it to the playoffs and get hot and play out of your mind? Yes. But I just don't think I can hang my hat on the fact that they are not a physical outfit. They get ran against. They're not physical on the defensive line. They get pushed around. And I don't think they're mentally tough. And that's really what you have to be, because you're going to have to play tough games. And if you can't air it out because somebody's punching you in the face, you can't get a sack on a run play.
The hard part about that is, part of what Bart just said is that anybody can get hot. When you are a defense that lives and dies by pressures and turnovers, then if you get hot, you can beat anybody. If you are not hot, you are going to go out in the first round. Like, it is sink or swim.
It can get ugly.
It's sink or swim. The four, he's right. Like, defense wins championships, the mantra we've all been raised by, right? Like, the 49ers are a consistent defense that does absolutely everything well and rarely makes mistakes. So if you're relying on the 49ers to make a mistake, you're not going to win that football game. If you're relying on the Cowboys to make a mistake, you might. Like, that's just part of the difference between one team and the other, not just on the defensive side of the ball, but overall.
Well, I'll say, when you look at the mistakes defensively, now, they have a Pro Bowl corner in Trayvon Diggs, right? But mistakes in the Eagles game, number one, early on in the game, biting on the slant, and A.J. Brown beating them on a double move on a slant and go, and which should have been a touchdown if A.J. Brown didn't lose his footing trying to cut back. That should have been a touchdown. The Eagles only got 3 points out of that. Also, you see Devontae Smith get a wide-open touchdown because of the tight end coming over in the flat area, but Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, being smart enough to understand, let's run this to Trayvon Diggs' side, because we know he reads route combinations. He reads splits and things that you could possibly do on certain down and distances. He jumped, the tight end coming in the flat, Devontae Smith is wide open. These are things that, you know, other teams can take advantage of. You've seen Bill Belichick was the first team last year to actually double move Trayvon Diggs, and now everyone else is a copycat league. It's copying the same thing.
You said read splits. What does that mean?
Splits, the way the wide receivers line up. If they're inside the numbers, outside the numbers, if they're in condensed splits, close to the line of scrimmage, those type of things. A lot of route combinations are based off splits by wide receivers. So, you know, elite corners and corners that play a great brand of football, have a high IQ, you can basically, you know, get rid of a lot of things that they're not going to run and put in your head three or four or five things that they possibly could run.
So it's like a choose-your-own-adventure book at that point. You're a DB, you see it, and you're like, okay, these two wide receivers are lined up this way, which means this is going to be one of the following five things more
likely
than
that. Well, that's how in the matchup last year, Dallas at home, I think it was Monday Night Football, Trayvon Diggs got a pick six because he read the close cadet split by Devontae Smith, in which the Philadelphia Eagles love to run 6-yard outs. He knew that, and he jumped it. So what did they do this year? Okay, we're going to start double moving Trayvon Diggs so he don't get these pick sixes that he think he's going to get and got last year.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the thing, the commonality in that theme when you talk about Diggs and frankly when you talk about their defensive line is that the Cowboys want to be aggressive defensively.
Oh, yeah.
When you want to be aggressive defensively, you take chances.
Like, and that's what Dan Quinn preaches. He was in Atlanta for a very, very long time, and I've been close with that organization ever since I was playing there. And they preach turnovers, punching at the ball, creating turnovers, getting pressure on the quarterback, being aggressive. That's the way they practice as well.
He's Harry Douglas. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to keep this quarterback conversation going, but not just with Dak, with the entire NFL. The question is, which quarterbacks do we trust that are in the playoff hunt? We'll get to some up to the max next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz, Tim Hasselbeck joining us.
What's up?
Are you ready? The music's fired up. It's keyed up. They just played To the Max, which I called the wrong thing as we went to break. So things are really starting off successfully, Tim. This is what we're going to do. We're going to get the level of trust for quarterbacks in the playoffs. Now, okay, there's a limited group of options here. Like, we're not, you can't be willy-nilly give you any number. You
Joe
got
Burrow,
the choice of,
trust him.
You got 0, 50, or to the Max.
Who'd you say? Hold on. Who did he say again?
I trust him, Harry.
Joe Burrow?
Yeah,
my man.
Okay.
See, my man.
Harry
Tim
spent the whole break talking about the grapefruits, and that's look. We're gonna get.
Tim didn't say anything, but I know he agrees with me.
I agree.
When Fitz and Harry launches, do you think we could get somebody to like send us a bunch of grapefruits, and we could just put like a stamp on them and send it? Like, we could send Player of the Week awards out. Like,
there are any farmers markets out there?
Or maybe we just get a, like listening. Statues of grapefruits. Well, I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Trying to give you companies an opportunity here. All right,
Tim. By the way, our new show starts January 3rd, noon Eastern to 3 p.m. every day on ESPN Radio. Okay, I'll give you a quarterback. You give us a level of trust. It's 0, it's 50, or it's to the max. Are you ready?
Yep.
Top of the list, Jared Goff.
50. I think he's had a good year, and I think, listen, in some ways, he's a better player. He reminds me of Kirk Cousins a little bit in that he's a better player than, like, people give him credit for, like, nationally. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jared Goff's accomplished a lot throughout his career. He's had a very good season.
Yeah, I'm going to go 50 as well. I trust him a lot at home. It's just when he gets on the road, what kind of quarterback he's going to be. But like Tim just mentioned, he has accomplished a lot. He's been to a Super Bowl. He was with the Rams organization before they shipped them off of Matthew Stafford for the greater good and the betterment of that trade, because they actually got a Super Bowl out of it. But I do like what Jared Goff stands right now with this organization.
Let me ask you guys a question before we move on. Goff is 28 years old. Now, because of the trade, the Lions with the Rams are sitting right now, I think, with the third pick in the draft. You got a 28-year-old Jared Goff, but you are absolutely going to be in a position to pick one of the three best quarterbacks in the draft. You're running it back with Goff for a long time. Is he the future for the Lions?
Oh, from what I know so far on this draft, I'm keeping Jared Goff, yes.
I'm keeping Jared Goff, and I'm trying to get Will Anderson Jr. to pair him with...
Give me Jalen Carter or Will Anderson Jr. out of this.
The discussion ends up being who won the trade. Like, yes, you know, the Rams won a Super Bowl.
Oh, but they're done now.
You know, Jared Goff's been pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the next quarterback in this level of trust in the playoff hunt. Mac Jones, Patriots, 0-50 or to the max?
I would say zero. Listen, I just think offensively they have been – I think they've been bad pretty much all season long. He doesn't look comfortable. I've said this before, and I think he's probably over it now. But I thought there was a stretch where when he got benched for Bailey Zappi, it wasn't like, hey, he came back into the starting lineup a couple weeks later and everything was good. I don't believe that to be the case there. I think there were some wounds, and I think they've played like it.
I'm going zero here. We see the lack of playmaking ability that this offense has displayed on numerous of occasions. We just see all kind of things that we're not accustomed to seeing from a Bill Belichick-led football team, from offense to defense to special teams to, you know, last plays of the game against the Raiders, but then fumbling inside of your own 10-yard line to win the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. But Mac Jones is so busy worried about, you know, cussing people out and telling them about their plays and what guys aren't doing, he's not even playing good.
I think the Patriots are going to have to look in the mirror a long time and figure out what's best for them. Also, Mac's going to have to do the same thing because it does not feel like a match made in heaven. Mike White for the Jets, 0-50 or to the max?
Oh, man. I'm going to say zero coming off the injury. And I hate to say it because I liked what I saw out of him. I thought there was a toughness and a competitiveness you saw to him that was really impressive. That being said, missing some time, not a super experienced player. You know, I'll say zero, but I was close to going 50.
I'm going to go 50 just because I've seen Zach Wilson, and I know how bad offensively the Jets can be.
Well, I didn't know I was comparing them to Zach Wilson.
I mean, but Harry's just making up the rules as he goes.
But I think with the news with Tua and not knowing if Tua's going to be able to play, and you look at the last two games of the year, I think they have the Seahawks this weekend, and then they had the Miami Dolphins the last game of the year. If they want to get into the playoffs, they have to win these two games, and I think Mike White gives them the better chance. So I'm going to go 50.
Yeah, unfortunately, that trip to Seattle, I think, is a lot to take. So I have 0%, but it doesn't mean the Jets haven't had a great year. Geno Smith for the Seahawks, speaking of.
Listen, 50, probably if you had asked me this 5 weeks ago, I'd have said 100. I mean, or to the max. But, like, he's had a really good year. Now, it's kind of come down to earth a little bit recently, but I think he's a good player. I think he's a good fit for that offense. I think that he will play well down the stretch. So I'm going 50.
I'm going to go 50 as well, just because how he started out the year. But of late, I'm looking at their last six games. They're 1-5 in their last six games. Mm-hmm. And they really hit a stretch to where they had an opportunity to really put themselves in a prime position playoff wise. And now they're not there, so I'm going to go 50.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, guys, is that I think Kenneth Walker being back and healthy could make a difference for them, and they got a couple of games that are a little easier, so maybe I feel like, you know, Kenneth Walker can say, like,
you got to remember the defense he's going against, too, though. He's going against the Jets defense.
That is great.
That is really good.
That is a fair point. All right, one that you know well in Nashville, Malik Willis, Titans.
Yeah, that's a zero. Okay. I mean, look, so they're struggling there when he's been in the lineup. He's a supreme athlete. He is getting better. There's a reluctancy to throw the football that I think makes it nearly impossible for you to win when you play like that. And I think just in general, like the vibe on the team, you know, with, you know, the general manager, you know, being fired and just some of the struggles in general, like it is a drain right there right now.
Yeah, for me, it's a zero. And that's not saying that, you know, in the future, Malik Willis can't be, you know, a good player in the National Football League. What I'm seeing right now, I don't think it's there. And like you just mentioned, Tim,
Tell me about that wide receiver room right now, what those conversations are like.
Well,
when he's a starter.
I don't think the wide receiver room can even have those conversations because it's been a lack thereof play in that room as well with the departure of A.J. Brown. But since Todd Downing got the DUI after they beat the Packers, the firing of the GM, Ryan Tannehill getting hurt. It's just so many components, man. Guys on the defensive line being hurt, the secondary being another weak point on that defense. I just don't see this right now. They've lost five straight, so I'm at a zero with Malik Willis.
Yeah, they've imploded, and I hope Malik Willis proves me wrong and it turns out to have a tremendous career. I always root for young men. I just don't think Malik Willis is the future quarterback of the Titans. Sam Darnold, Panthers. Panthers on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, zero for me. Okay. I think good sell on that for me. I wasn't buying it. Look, I just think that, and it's part of my logic with Mike White even, look, Sam Darnold has not played a whole lot of football this year. I think it's hard when you get down to critical moments in the season for a quarterback to play well when he just hasn't been in the mix and hasn't been playing a lot of football. I think it's difficult, especially when, you know, his career arc has been what it's been. So for that reason, I'm saying zero.
I'm going to go 50 because like the run game of the Carolina Panthers with Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard. That offensive line is finally coming together. They revamped that entire offensive line this offseason. But Sam Darnold, the last two games, hasn't turned the football over. And that's huge because coming into the season, him and Baker Mayfield, I think, were 1-2 since 2000. I can't remember the year. Since 2018, maybe, in turnovers from the quarterback position. So I'm going to go 50 here.
Can you imagine if they make the playoffs, they fire their head coach to play a slew of quarterbacks?
Which is a possibility.
I mean, Wilkes has got to keep this job if they go to the playoffs, right?
He at a minimum is a serious candidate.
Traded Robbie Anderson, fire your coach, traded Christian McCaffrey, and you still have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Although, I will say, I watched an interim coach make the playoffs last year in Rich Bisaccia, and that didn't stick around. Speaking of that, one more quarterback on the list that they tell me I have to ask about, still technically in the playoff hunt, level of faith in Derek Carr. 0-50 or to the max.
Yeah, zero. I mean, listen, some of the talk about them maybe not playing him the last week of the season. You know, the story is no guaranteed money, you know, after this year. I guess within 3 days after the Super Bowl, you know, $33 million fully guaranteed this coming year. I believe it's seven the following year become fully guaranteed. And so the fact that Josh McDaniel has been asked if he will be the starter then, and McDaniels didn't, you know, unequivocally say yes that he would be. Like, that doesn't endear a whole lot of confidence for a quarterback.
I would say I'm going to go zero right now, but I love Derek Carr. Had an opportunity to work out and train with a man for a while out there in Cali. But it's been an up-and-down roller coaster season for him. And I don't know if it's, you know, the offense and what he wants to do just – It was oil and water for so long, but then they start to figure it out, right, with the run game and Josh Jacobs. But then you see the turnovers again in another game. And I don't know if Josh McDaniels wants Derek Carr to be his quarterback moving forward.
You know, it's funny, Tim, because earlier you said comfortable. And, look, I watch more Raiders than anybody should because that's the bane of my existence. Derek Carr has not looked comfortable over most of the season, but particularly the last month. And I think that's the opposite of what most people expected. You don't expect a quarterback that's been in the league for a long time, as he gets more familiar with an offense, to feel less comfortable. And for whatever reason, there is a moment for Derek Carr where somebody that I've seen for years walk up to the line of scrimmage and know exactly pre-snap what he's trying to do. That is no longer part of his existence.
See your quarterback going forward?
I don't think so. I hate saying that because, like, I think Derek Carr can still be a very good quarterback somewhere.
Too.
And I think that you have to look at replacement. And I do think you have to look at the market and say, okay, then who? But if the Raiders lose their last two games, and I think they will, they finish 6-11. I don't know that
what
you can run it back.
What pick would they have, though?
Right now they pick ninth. If they lose their last two, there's a chance they're probably picking seventh or eighth. Not high enough to get one of the three quarterbacks love.
Yeah, and truthfully, I don't know that the draft ends up being, you know, where you find the replacement. Really, I think you have to then get into the mix of, you know, what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo.
He loves Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't love Jimmy G, but I think
you've said it multiple times.
No, I don't love him, but it makes sense. Like Jimmy G knows.
For the Raiders, you said with Josh McDaniels, you
love it. It makes sense. I did not say I love it. I said it makes sense.
Choosing Jimmy G over Derek Carr. I want Derek to hear this.
Hey, he loves it. I don't love him.
Look, I can appreciate how dashingly good looking he is, and I do believe he would have a better understanding of the offense walking in. That's it. Tim, appreciate your time. You are to the max. Harry's a zero. zero, I'm a 50,
yeah,
right?
Harry wasn't to the max on anybody, was he?
No. I mean, like, he's saving all that to the max stuff for First Take today. You know, he's waiting. He's all zeros right now. Follow him on Twitter at TTH, at T, what is that, two T's?
Don't follow me on Twitter. I'm not entertaining. I don't tweet.
All right, don't follow him on Twitter, but watch him across all of our platforms. ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, happy new year, my friend. We appreciate you hanging out with us. All right, we've got to keep this whole thing moving. I've got to move screens, figure out. Oh, yeah, the Broncos. They say Russell Wilson can be fixed. The question is, are they right? We'll break that down next. It's time for some hot news or not news, and really just some dancing.
Where you at, Fitz? Me and Kmart over here getting now.
That's more movement than I usually see in that seat with Max, so it's all right.
I just want to point out to everybody that I am living, breathing proof that you can have incredible rhythm and not be able to dance. Like, I can subdivide a beat all day long. I can't make my body do the wiggle wiggle. Like, it just doesn't.
The wiggle wiggle.
Yeah.
Wiggle, wiggle.
I'm not proud that I just said that.
I got to say this, though. Kmart.
Ooh, talk to me.
First of all,
talk,
I like the outfit, like the neck piece. Okay. You know what I mean? But them Jordans that you have on right now. Not them Jordans. Them Jordans that you have on right now, Kmart. My goodness.
So I knew Fitz was in the house, so I figured I would be a little stylish with the
boys. I mean, my guy today wearing the full suit,
he's
Harry Douglas.
Clean. Yeah. He's always clean. I mean, Harry show up like he's going to shoot around, but he does that quick Clark Kent change, and bam.
Can I just tell Kimberly Martin, Jason Fitz, Harry Douglas, we're totally off the rails on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So yesterday, we do the show, and like after, you know, he texts me, he's like, hey, let's go to dinner. So we're going to dinner someplace, and I'm like, all right, well, let's go out. I'm standing in the lobby.
Tell me where we went. We went to Beauty and Essence.
We went to Beauty and Essence.
One of my favorite places to go eat.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice.
Harry,
right?
Let it eat.
Yeah, my guy eats like you would not believe. But I'm standing in the lobby. Typical for me. Like, I didn't really think about the appropriate attire. So I'm wearing I'm wearing a Raiders hoodie, just standing there. I'm like, here we go. And Harry comes down. I mean, looking just clean and everything. Yes. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, no, I should do a little something.
Harry is that friend that when you're like, okay, let's go out, what are you going to wear? Oh, no, let's just keep it low key. We're not going to do it. We're not going to dress up. And that friend shows up dressed to the nines, and you're like, what the hell? We said we were going to wear sweatpants.
The last time I saw him yesterday, he was in a full, like sweatsuit thing. And I was like, all right, he's mailing in the rest of the day. No, it's going
to
be fine.
Harry has to be the best dressed until I walk on set. And then he's like, oh, okay.
Listen,
I know we're going to play hot news or not news. Hot news, that fire alarm at our hotel this morning.
Oh, you were there.
2:36 a.m.
See, I said 2:45 a.m.
2:36 a.m.
It was still going on, Kmart, when we came over here.
Yes,
we're not going to say the name of the hotel.
We're not going to say the name of the hotel, but wow.
It was atrocious.
If you missed the story earlier, I'll only tell you this. Nine times. Nine beeps. I counted because it went off for over two stinking hours. And then a PA announcer comes on and they're like, everybody stay in your rooms. There's no fire. There is no fire. Stay in your rooms.
Dying.
But this is what I can't figure out. We're just totally off the rails here.
Yes.
What I can't figure out is she said on the PA thing, there's no fire. There has been someone has tampered with the sprinkler in
the lobby. Who is doing that?
I'm telling you. You tell me.
Somebody's up there on that floor. You know what they're doing.
Like, there's nobody in this hotel. Is not in a popular part of like 2 a.m. culture of New York.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, whoever was working the front desk just like lit a fatty. He was just sitting back. And he's like,
she was
just like, nobody's around, right?
We are all on the struggle bus today. I mean, we are just dying.
Good Lord. All right, so let's play some hot news or not news before they yell at me. She's Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, also co-host of First Take, Her Take with Charlie Arnold and L. Duncan. Check that out. New episodes available every Wednesday wherever you listen to your podcast. So, hot news or not news, J.J. Watt announces retirement from the NFL.
It's hot news because he's going to go down as one of the best to ever do it. Future Hall of Famer. And based on how he had been playing, it is shocking because you saw he still had some juice left in the tank. But kudos to J.J. If this is it, he's walking out on his terms, which, Harry, you know, as players, you want to be able to walk out on your terms.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things, Kmart, is being able to walk out when you want to do it versus the game forcing you out. And J.J. Watt, I still believe he can play at a high level, but when you have a newborn baby and you understand that there's more aspirations to life and more things that you want to accomplish outside of football. And football is something that you did, and it's not who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You take a different approach, and you see things differently as well.
That's what hit me when I saw the post, because you had been talking about that with Tua, that at some point in your life you realized that family matters more than football. And when he posted that picture with his baby, and it's like first game, last game, I was like, I immediately thought about priorities. All right, next up, the Broncos say Russell Wilson is fixable.
That is hot news, because just because the Broncos brass think so doesn't mean that any new head coach they bring in is going to say, oh, yeah, I could fix Russ. Think about it. This job, there's only one of 32. It's special, right?
Yep.
Except, is this a job that you want? Do you want the responsibility of fixing Russell? It is hot news, because whoever they bring in is tied to Russ, and a new head coach may say, you know what, I think he's done, and I want my own guy.
Yeah, it is hot news, and I think – there's a small part of me that's saying it can be fixed,
right?
But that's if you bring in a Brian Schottenheimer, who was with Russ in Seattle, or you bring over a Darrell Bevell, who was with Russ and understands every ins and outs when it comes to Russell Wilson versus somebody who doesn't know Russ trying to figure out the ins and outs of Wilson and trying to get it done that way.
I often say that my relationship with my beloved Raiders is like a toxic dating relationship. Like, it's just, it's bad. When you hear fixable, I immediately think the same thing. Like, every person in a bad relationship is like, no, I can fix this. And like, it works once in a blue moon. This is going to be that same thing where you're like, I thought I could fix him. It won't.
But they also need to get the run game better. Mm-hmm. Javonte Williams will be back. I mean, him going down kind of hurt this team a lot. But also, they got to start protecting the quarterback more, and Russ got to learn to get the football out of his hand. That was an issue in Seattle. It's been an issue in Denver.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Tua back in concussion protocol. Hot news?
Hot news because of where the Dolphins are. They need these last two games. And it looks like Tua won't play this week. Then you got Teddy Bridgewater. Not just what it means on the football field, but for Tua himself as a human being. This is now the second known concussion protocol situation for him. We don't know how many concussions he's actually had this season. And sometimes you have to protect the player from himself.
Yeah, this is hot news for me. Fitz, you know how many times I say it. You know, life after football and that's just a short portion of your life and what you're able to do, man. There's so much more to life than just sports. And when you just had a new baby, just got recently married. So all those things got to play in a factor. And he has to have real life conversations with his family and also himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Moving forward.
You're a big person on mentoring, right? And being mentored. This is the moment where I hope whoever's into his life that has his ear of influence can talk to him about, you know, what matters and make sure that he's making decisions, whatever they might be, however he chooses to go, that he can feel good about for the rest of his life.
And listen, one thing one of my coaches told me, the game of football was here way before you were born. It's here now while you're here.
Yep.
It's going to be here when you're gone.
Real quick, I want to get one more in. Bears are not sitting Justin Fields for the last two games. Hot news, not news.
I guess it's hot. I just think this season for the Bears, you saw some flashes with Justin Fields, but still not playing the way you want to see him play. But they have so many deficiencies. I don't know. I don't know, guys.
That's fair.
I don't think it's hot news, but I also like the fact that they're doing this. Two division opponents. Also, the Minnesota Vikings, who, you know, has a number two seed in the NFC right now. So, I mean, I like what Justin Fields is. But if you want to see other things, I think you let him play the last two games.
Yeah, this is where being in the division, you want your quarterback to get division reps. I totally love that. You're on First Take today, right?
Should be.
Okay, so just handle with care. Like, he's a bundle today. It's just,
you know, the thing with Harry is I know exactly how to put him in his place, but I do it delicately. Like a little baby, you lay him down gently. That's how.
Look at you. You got stout to me.
Kimberly A. Martin. Follow her on Twitter at @ByKimberlyA. You are, of course, the best. Thanks for dealing with us. We appreciate you. All right. How am I going to learn puberty? Puberty just hit me. Congratulations. It took me 40 years, but I finally got my voice changed. All right. How would winning a national championship change how we view Jim Harbaugh? We'll get into a little college football next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. If you're in the app, you can go down to the More button on the lower right-hand corner, scroll to live radio. Bam! You can find us there, presented by Progressive Insurance. But it's not Keyshawn, J. Will, or Max. It's, in fact, a sneak peek of the new show, Fitz and Harry.
What's it called again?
Fitz and Harry.
When does it start?
It starts January 3rd.
From what time?
Noon to 3 Eastern every single weekday on ESPN Radio. Wow!
Ooh, we coming in hot like a hot tamale, like white on rice, baby. We coming. Hotter than fish grease.
Hotter than fish grease. Okay. College Football Bowl Talk brought to you by Princess Cruises. I love this boat. Also hotter than fish grease. And I don't just mean how just dashingly good looking he is. Our buddy Harry Lyles hanging out with us, ESPN college football reporter. If you have watched at all over the course of the fall, you've seen Harry Lyles a bunch on Countdown to Game Day with Christine Williamson and Harry Douglas. A great college football show. We'll be covering at least the national championship game together digitally. Yep. You can catch Harry and I, by the way, before the Peach Bowl. And you can catch Harry Lyles on the Music City Bowl down in Nashville. First and foremost, Harry, I will tell you, when you're down Lower Broadway at 5th and Main.
No. First of all, when you say Harry Lyles, you got to be specific. You got to say Lyles, and then when you talk to me, you got to say HD. Come on, Fitz. We're starting this.
Let's go. A man. I do what I want. Harry Lyles Jr., when you're downtown on Lower Broadway at 5th and Main, there's a Hattie B's there that everybody lines up in for an hour. Don't wait in the line for an hour. Go to the escalator right by the Hattie B's. Go up one floor, and there's a Prince's Hot Chicken, which is the exact same stuff, and every bit is good, and it's right there.
You tell him you know Harry Douglas. That's all you got to say. Oh, you going to jump the line.
All right, Harry.
I lived in Nashville for 3 years.
I lived in Nashville for 20 years.
I stayed right there by the Hattie B's. Lyles, you tell him you know Harry D, and you're going to go jump right in front of that line and go get your chicken before everybody else.
Harry Lyles, I'm going to tell you one thing you should never say in Nashville. I know Harry D. That's all I'm going to say. Now that we are wildly off the rails of trying to get fired, playoff weekend, is there pressure in your mind on Ryan Day?
Yeah, I really think so. Not just because of the two Michigan losses in a row, but like – the added pain of that for him is now you're going up against the standard of college football, the new standard of college football. And so now we get to see just where you stand on that. And so if you're now unable to be your rival and you don't match up well against the new standard of college football, then I do think that these red flags that people have started to throw up on him all of a sudden become a lot more bright if they do not play well against Georgia.
And I say, looking at Ohio State facing Georgia in the college football semifinals in the Peach Bowl down in Georgia, basically a home game for the Georgia Bulldogs, the physicality of Georgia and the way they lost Ohio State to Michigan, not just this year but last year, do you think that can pose a problem for the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, HD, we sat there and we watched Ohio State play Michigan this year, and – the things that are going to be key in this game, I am almost frightened for Ohio State, right? Because the way that their defensive backfield played, you can't do that against Georgia, right? Like Brock Bowers, Darnell Washington, Ladd McConkey, they're going to make you pay if you play like that. In terms of C.J. Stroud not really wanting to be mobile when we know he can do that, even though he's a great passer, but like sometimes, hey man, against this Georgia defense, you're not going to be able to sit back there. They're not going to let you do that. You've got to move. This is going to have to be the biggest Marvin Harrison Jr. game that he's ever played. I think he's the best wide receiver in college football. I don't even think it's close. He's really going to have to play a perfect game because I just don't see C.J. Stroud changing in that way. And so he's not going to come correct himself. And then they also got to be able to run the football better. I just feel like there's so many things that they showed us that they were not able to do against Michigan, where if you all of a sudden you're playing Georgia, that's not going to change. Like, this is a different football team that we've been watching the past 2 years. And so to me, you know, I don't know what Ryan Day is going to tell these guys or what's going to get into them themselves, but something is drastically going to have to change from the last time we saw them out on the football field.
Yeah, and that's – I don't have many knocks on C.J. Stroud, but if I were to have a few or a tiny bit amount, one of them would be the simple fact that I think sometimes he tries to be too much of a passer. And you have those rush lanes. And he did that against Michigan where there were times where he could have just, you know, ran for first downs with his legs, but he's sitting back there in the pocket trying to be too much of a passer. Against the Georgia Bulldogs, we seen last year Bryce Young in the SEC Championship, you know, do it with his legs, being able to scramble and, you know, get off the spot and run for first downs. Also scramble and throw for touchdowns and just get the ball to his weapons. C.J. Stroud is going to have to be able to do that in this matchup.
Yeah, I could go on about this all day, but let's get the other matchup in real quick. Lyles, you think there's any chance that TCU can turn around and beat Michigan?
Yeah, totally. You know, when TCU plays their best ball, they are certainly one of the best four teams in the country, and I don't think that's disputable. I think the big thing is which Michigan are we going to get, right? Because, I mean, the fact that they did come out and play the way that they did against Ohio State, to me, was shocking. You know, I thought without Blake Corum, J.J. McCarthy in the past has not been the guy to step up and all of a sudden turn into Superman, and he turned into Superman that game. So if he's kind of able to continue to do that, I think that Michigan is the team that I would take in that game, but also if Max Duggan, Quentin Johnson in this offense is clicking, Kendre Miller, I also really like TCU. Like, I genuinely think people still are kind of looking at TCU as like, oh, it's nice that they're in. It's like, no, like, these dudes can really play football. So to me, like, this one is a heck of a lot more of a toss-up than that Georgia-Ohio State game, but I think J.J. McCarthy is the one big, big key in this game because he has gone from more of a game manager to someone that could take a game over in these last couple of games. And if he's able to be that, then I think Michigan has a lot easier time with TCU than they otherwise would have.
You guys can follow him on Twitter, at Harry Lyles Jr. Watch him on the Music City Bowl, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Appreciate it, guys.
Bro, you know I love you, man. Can't wait to see you.
Yes, sir. Bye.
ESPN Radio's got you covered for bowl game action. Tune in Saturday for the All-State Sugar Bowl, followed by the College Football Semifinals, the VRBO Fiesta Bowl, and the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Those games going to be incredible. We want to get you guys involved in the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. After what we saw from Luka last night, is he the best young player in the NBA under 25? We'll break it down next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.